following is a production of the Media Ministry at New Salem Baptist Church in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, featuring the teaching of Pastor Alan Rogers. In the Metro Chattanooga area, we invite you to be our guest at any of our weekly worship services or visit us online at newsalembaptist.net. Now here's Pastor Alan.
Good morning. Welcome to worship at New Salem. I'm Pastor Alan, and I hope you have had an incredible Independence Day weekend. On Thursday, we celebrated freedom. Today, we gather to celebrate the one who makes us free indeed. I am not with you in person today, but I am with you in spirit. June was a jam-packed month around here, and so my family and I are taking a few days off to rest and recover. Thank you, church family, for allowing us that freedom. Lord willing, I will be back with you next Sunday, refreshed, re-energized, and ready to get back to work. My other regret today is that I'm not going to be able to hear with you our special guest, Dr. Paul Frick. Dr. Frick retired as pastor of Liberty Baptist Church up near Knoxville. Before that, he was the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Lakeview. He continues to serve as a Christian counselor, and he has been very active in Tennessee Baptist life. Dr. Frick and his wife are members of Dallas Bay Baptist Church, and they have a son and a daughter-in-law who are currently serving as missionaries with the International Mission Board. Dr. Frick has been a great friend and encourager to several of our Soddy Daisy area pastors, and you are in for a very special treat today as Dr. Frick brings us a word from the Word a little later in the service.
Really great to be here with you this morning, and my prayer is that as we share from God's Word today, that it will speak a word of hope, but also a word of challenge to you as we look at God's Word. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 17. And don't put your Bibles away after that, because we're going to be looking at some other verses that will support and reinforce some of the truths that I feel led to share with you this morning. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Would you go with me to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, dear God, as we come here this morning, Lord, we know that we must put aside all pretense of righteousness. For indeed, the only righteousness that we have in ourselves is found in Jesus Christ, covered in his blood, and trusting in our salvation through the sacrifice that he made for us. This morning, Heavenly Father, help us to recognize that you want us to draw near to you, and that you desire our lives to reflect your love and your grace. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. I want to take you back to a day in history. We don't know the date. We don't know the year, but we know that it happened and it affected every single one of us. That day would be hours after Adam and Eve, as they were there in this perfect garden, the Garden of Eden, had eaten of that forbidden tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then that moment that they dreaded. Every day before that, they looked forward to the time that the Heavenly Father would walk in their midst and they would fellowship together, but not today, because they knew that they had sinned. And imagine how they felt when they heard God call out to them, "Where are you? Where are you?" And then they had, probably trembling in their hearts and maybe knees knocking, they had to come before the Father and to acknowledge, as He asked them question after question, that they had disobeyed His will. The fall of humanity. We don't know the date, but we know that it happened, and it affects every single one of us, even today. And ever since that moment, ever since God expelled Adam and Eve from the garden, people have, whether they recognize it or not, they have sought to try to find their way back to God. You can study ancient civilizations. There's some type of effort to worship a creator or a god or the sun or the moon or the stars. You can go to the Wailing Wall. I've had the privilege of traveling to Israel, and I have been there at the Wailing Wall, where people are praying to God that the Messiah would come and that He would build the third temple. And it's so sad, because here they are, they're praying to God saying, "Send us the Messiah." And I'm thinking, the Messiah has already been here, and you missed it. You didn't understand, and you rejected Him. I've been to the nation of Bali, close to where my son and daughter-in-law serve us and serve the Lord through the International Mission Board. And I have seen the Hindu idols there, where people have laid flowers and laid fruit that apparently the god doesn't eat, because it rots and the mice come and eat it. Trying to find some way to get back to God. And what is universal in all of those religious efforts is they feel distant from God. You talk to someone who is Hindu or Buddhist or Muslim. You ask them, "How do you know after you die whether you will go to heaven or not?" And what they will say is something like this: "I hope, I pray that I have done enough good deeds to earn my way into heaven." And what's sad is that if they would accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they wouldn't have to worry about whether they would have heaven after they die. Amen? They would know that there is a heavenly home waiting for them. That's the assurance that we have as God's people. Now, it's interesting, in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the Romans, he's wanting them to be encouraged to live a life that reflects the freedom that they have in Jesus Christ. So it's interesting, he says, "We are debtors." We are debtors to Christ. But he says, "Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh." Because he says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. We'll all die physically, but if we are living according to the flesh, we die spiritually. Just like what happened in the Garden of Eden. They didn't die physically right away, but they died spiritually as they disobeyed God. Here's what we got to understand. As we go through this life, you're either serving one master or another. You're either serving Satan and his cause and his purposes, or you are serving Jesus Christ and living for Him. None of us owns ourselves. None of us lives for ourselves. We either live for Satan, or we're living for the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, I told you, you have to have your Bibles ready. In Hebrews chapter 2, there's some verses there that speak to the universal condition that people all around the world deal with. I'll give you a moment to look that up, because Hebrews is not always an easy book to find. It is in the New Testament. Some people think it's in the Old Testament. None of you do, because you all you folks are scholars. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who was the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. You think about it, fear of death is a universal condition of humanity. People are afraid of death, what it will bring. And I remember my grandmother, who was a very faithful Christian, but she would say, "I'm so afraid of death." She didn't know about what would happen after death, but the Bible tells us a lot about that. And I told her, we called her Mama. I said, "Mama, I think what you're really afraid of is how you're going to die." That is common for all Christians. You wonder, when's it going to be and how is it going to be? But I said, fear of death itself is unnecessary for us as Christians. In fact, it is a sign of not trusting in the Lord completely. And it seems that in our world today, people are seeking to make the most of their lives, but what they forget is, are they living their lives in a way that honors God and trusts in Him? We as Christians are debtors to Christ, and we must live according to the Spirit, not the flesh. And that relates to my second point. What choices are you and I making every day? And to me, there are two forms, if you will, of fleshly living. And the first one is to live a very sinful life that does not try to reflect God's love or God's law. There's too many people in this world today that this is their motto: if it feels good, do it. And you look at TV and you see all the commercials that are there. What do they appeal to? They appeal to something to eat or something that's going to make you feel good about yourself, or make you feel like that you don't smell bad, or that you got it all together. But the fact is that many of the activities that make you feel good are not good for you. So as you can tell, I'm not a real big eater. In fact, I've been trying to lose a little weight. People kind of look at me like I'm crazy. But you think of, you know, it's just like, I love pizza, but you can eat too much pizza. I love spaghetti, but you can eat too much spaghetti. I love hamburgers, but you can eat too many of them. And we just need to recognize that God has placed many good things in this world, and what is good becomes bad when we have too much of it. There are people that buy too many clothes. There are people that stay up late and when they need to be getting their proper rest. There are people who are seeking to, how can I say this? Their heart is hurting, and they are seeking ways to make that hurt go away, and many times, whether it is overspending or using drugs or alcohol, they are seeking to find ways to drown that pain. But what happens is, when the anesthetizing effect of the drug alcohol goes away, their life is worse than it was before. There's also a second way that we can live fleshly, and the Apostle Paul kind of mentions it here, and it's something that we don't think about, but he says that we have received Christ, and you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back in fear. And what I think this is talking about, and I think it's something the commentators miss, is that the Apostle Paul is concerned about people falling back into legalism, falling back into this idea that you can work hard enough and earn your way to heaven. Unfortunately, there are many Christians that think, if I do all these good things, if I go to church, if I tithe and I serve and I be a good person, God's going to like me more and God's going to love me more and God's going to bless me more. And the fact is that you can't earn God's love. God's grace is a gift that He gives to you and me in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of our pride, in spite of the way that we want people to look at us. All these world religions that I mentioned earlier fall into this category. And that's why we send missionaries to foreign countries. I've even had people who knew us really well who were not necessarily evangelical Christians. They would say, well, why does your son and daughter-in-law, why are they going to a foreign country? They have their religion. Isn't that good enough? Why disturb them? And we have to explain to them that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, I believe Jesus really meant that, don't you? And the fact is, we as Christians here in America, we live our lives as if everyone who's good is going to heaven. And the Bible tells us that that is not true. So many times, we look at the worldly standards rather than what the Bible tells us. Now, remember that in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve realized, oh my goodness, we've been walking around and don't have anything on, what do? They fashion some clothing out of fig leaves. You ever caught a child eating a cookie that they weren't supposed to eat? You see them, they're up on the counter, and they're grabbing that cookie, and we'll say, what are you doing? What are you hiding behind there? What have you got? And there's a cookie and there's a bite out of it, right? And my friends, our works are just as useless as those fig leaves were for Adam and Eve. And it makes it obvious that we have sinned and disobeyed God. We need to recognize that we must live our lives with an intentionality. And I want to just say that sometimes we're not as intentional as we need to be about extinguishing sin in our lives. Now, I was watching the news yesterday, and they were saying that there are almost 20 fires in the state of California, and many of them are not even contained. And I thought as I was watching this map and it showed all these flames all over the map of California, I thought to myself, this world's on fire, isn't it, with sin? And they'll talk about, in forest fires, they'll talk about containment. It's 10% contained or 20% contained or it's 100% contained. They know that until they have extinguished every ember, that a fire can start up again. In zoos, they have these exhibits where you will have this really thick glass, and on the other side, there'll be a lion or a tiger, some other wild animal. And I've seen pictures, videos of animals trying to get at people. Maybe they hadn't fed them yet that day. I don't know what happened. And you hear about people who don't obey the warning signs and they get into an area in a zoo where they shouldn't be and they end up getting hurt. Even some of the trainers sometimes get hurt. A wild animal is still a wild animal, even if it's been brought up in captivity. Sin is still sin. It doesn't matter how much you think you have it under control. It doesn't matter how much you think you have it contained. It cannot be toyed with. But how many Christians do that? Oh, yeah, I do this little thing over here, but, you know, hey, I got it under control. No problem. But what happens is it seeps in, and slowly but surely it'll take over. Kind of like kudzu around here in this part of Tennessee. Look what it says in John chapter 3 as Jesus is speaking. He says, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." And my friends, our lives need to be lived in a spotlight where we're saying, "God, I want my life to honor you. I want my thoughts to honor you. I want what I look at to honor you. I want where my feet take me, what my hands do. I want all of these, every aspect of my life to honor you." So let me ask the question, are you led by God's Holy Spirit? Do you allow Him to lead you? And the Apostle Paul says that all of us have this Spirit, the Holy Spirit of adoption. And it says as sons, but you could just say as children, because women are included with that too, obviously. "By whom we cry, Abba, Father." Now, I think it's interesting that the Apostle Paul puts Abba in there. That's that Aramaic word for daddy. Because what the Apostle Paul's trying to get across is we can feel that close to the Lord. We can have a prayer life that is intimate, where we can share our deepest hurts and our deepest pains with Him. As a counselor and as a retired pastor over the years, I have talked with people who have gone through many difficult and horrific, sometimes, events in their lives. Some of them, it was because of choices they made, but many times it was things that happened to them that they were helpless, especially as a child or a teenager. And I would just point out to them that God loves them, that God cares about them. And sometimes when we go through difficult times, we feel angry with God. And let me tell you something. Our God who created this universe, who created you and me, let me tell you something. He can handle your doubt. He can handle your anger. He can handle your disappointment. He can handle your hurt. He can bring healing to your heart if you will let Him. In our prayer lives, do we have to introduce ourselves to Him because we haven't talked to Him in a while? I hope not. Hope we can say, "Hey, Daddy, it's Paul again. It's Margie again. It's Alan again." And to seek that closeness with our Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul goes on to mention that we are heirs with Christ. And think about how if you're the heir to a big fortune, it means that your future is secure, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. I had a professor in seminary that he was single and he always had nice jewelry on, and someone said, "Well, he's the heir to a fortune." And so he knew that his future was secure economically. We, as heirs of Christ and fellow heirs, we know that our future in heaven is secure. But it says, provided, okay, there's a caveat here, there's a condition. Provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. I have been to many different countries, mission trips, and I never would have thought I would have been able to go to Brazil or Romania or Southeast Asia, Mexico. But it's amazing how in some of these places where you go, to be a true evangelical, Bible-believing Christian, you will suffer. You will pay for it because someone may not hire you for a job because of that. Or they will discriminate against you because of that. Or they will say bad things about you. We, as Americans, we need to really ask ourselves, are we suffering for the Lord? Some people think, well, I had to go to church, had to listen to a sermon, you know, so I suffered. And that's not what it's talking about, okay? This is a blessing, right? This is an edification, a building up. Christians complain about tithing. Oh, that preacher talking about tithing again. That's an act of worship. It's a joy. Yeah. When I was early in my married life, I told my wife, I said, well, I said, you know, bills are a little tight this month, so we won't give quite a tithe to the church. We'll make up for it. And you know what? The making up for it was really hard, but I did it. And I told the Lord, I promised him, I said, I won't ever get behind again. And it's a blessing to know that what we give blesses people literally around the world. This church gives the Co-op program. You're helping my son and my daughter-in-law and my grandchildren, my granddaughters. Help them have a car, a place to live. They have all the means that they need to be able to minister to people. They're seeing people who are Muslim being saved. Praise the Lord for that. These people were bound for hell. So ask yourself, what is it that God wants me to be doing? Is there some type of sacrifice that the Lord is calling me to do? Anything that the Lord calls us to do, it will not be easy, but it will be worth it because we've pleased our Heavenly Father. That glorification that the Apostle Paul talks about is talking about what we experience when we die and we get to be in heaven with the Lord. So, some last verses I want to share with you about walking in the Lord and serving Him. It's Ephesians chapter 5. I'm actually going to read some other verses in addition to the ones that are on the PowerPoint. I want to actually start with verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. We need to be seeking holiness in our lives, imitating Him. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Our daily lives ought to be a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then on to starting verse 7, therefore, do not become partners with them, meaning those who are sinful. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. One of the things I tell people is, God has a will for many of the decisions in our lives that we think, I'm just going to use my knowledge to make that decision. But if you have a job, or you had a job, I pray that that's the job that God wants you to be in, the career that God wants you to be in, the house that you buy, the car that you drive, how you spend your time, how you spend your money, what you give your life for. God has a will for all those things. And as we please the Lord, we feel His good pleasure. And so when we pray to Him, we can say, hey, Daddy, it's me again. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for allowing me to live my life as light for you. During the terrible days of the Blitz during World War II in England, of course, if you're familiar with that, there were many raids made at night to bomb London and various other places in England. And there was a night where one of these raids was occurring, and a father was holding his small son by the hand, and they were running from a building that had been struck by a bomb. In the front yard, there was this big crater, and they couldn't make it to a bomb shelter. So seeking to find a place of cover, the father jumped into that hole, and then he looked up at his son, and he held up his hands and his arms for the son to jump. And he told his son, "Jump, jump, son." And the son says, "But Dad, I can't see you." Because of the burning buildings that were around, the father could see the silhouette of his son. And so he said, "But I can see you. Jump." And that's exactly what the little boy did. I would suggest this morning that there are times in our lives, because of all the destruction, all the sin around us, and the pain that we're feeling, that it's hard to see where God is. But let me assure you here this morning, our Abba Father, He sees us. And all we have to do is jump into His loving arms.
This program is a production of the Media Ministry at New Salem Baptist Church. Music courtesy of Jason Shaw at audionautix.com. If you enjoy this program, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@newsalembaptist.net. Thank you for listening.